Ephesians chapter 3, that we are, as children of God, we are considered the sons of God. All of us are sons of God, both men and women. It's not an insult or a way to put the women down. It is actually a reference not to gender, but to position. It talks about what we are entitled to as the children of God. We are considered sons of God, and so all of the rights and the privileges that a son of God is eligible to receive, we get in Christ Jesus. And that means that we are liberated children of God, we are legitimate children of God, and we are loved children of God. And we elaborated on those areas. And now I'm just going to pick it up in the next section in chapter 4 here in Galatians. And as you know, I like to read it out loud with all of you. And for those of you who might be wondering, why do I like to read the scriptures out loud together with everybody? It's not a common practice with all of our pastors, but something I like to do. Two simple reasons. The first is in Paul's letter to Timothy, who was a young pastor himself. He told Timothy straight out, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture. And when I read that, I just take it to heart. Why not? Let's do it. Let's read it out loud together. And the second reason I like to read out loud is because many of us here are not native English speakers. This is our second language. And some of us just come to listen to English or practice our English. And I think it's good to practice what's known as ondoku. It's called reading out loud. And it's something I did even when I was a little boy growing up in the States. I read out loud to my uncle in the kitchen. And so that's all. Nothing spiritual about it, just good to read out loud. So, and I like to read long portions of Scripture. If you notice, it's not two or three verses, but a good 10 to 12. Because mainly in our devotional time, and even sometimes we listen to other sermons, they only focus on three or four, maybe two or three. And we don't have a chance to get a good long read for some of us. And so those are just some simple reasons. Okay, so let's read. Let's pick it up from verse 12. I plead with you, brothers, become like me, for I became like you. You have done me no wrong. As you know, it was because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you. Even though my illness was a trial to you, you did not treat me with contempt or scorn. Instead, you welcomed me as if I were an angel of God, as if I were Christ Jesus himself. What has happened to all your joy? I can testify that if you could have done so, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me. Have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? Those people are zealous to win you over, but for no good. What they want is to alienate you from us, so that you may be zealous for them. It is fine to be zealous, provided the purpose is good, and to be so always and not just when I am with you. My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you, how I wish I could be with you now and change my tone, because I am perplexed about you. I am perplexed about you. My subject today is choose the right influence. Choose the right influence. This section that we just read is actually right in the middle of a letter in which Paul is writing to churches in the area of Galatia. modern-day Turkey. And up until this point, as I've been preaching through this book, I've been saying again and again that this book is all about the freedom we have in Christ. Paul says it in chapter 5, it is for freedom that Christ set us free. He talks about it all throughout the book, how we are free from sin. We are free from trying to live right on our own. We are free from defeat and destruction from the enemy, all because of Jesus Christ. We don't have to follow rules and regulations and religion anymore. We are free in Christ. And that's Paul's main theme in this book. And he's going to pick up that theme again. He writes all about that up until this section, and then he gets into this section. It's kind of a personal note between him and the people of the churches. And then he'll pick it up again, that theme of living in the power of freedom in Christ, in the next section. But in this little bit of scripture, we see a glimpse of Paul's relationship, which he had with the members of the Galatian churches. And he, as you read, it's just, he has a kind of heartbroken attitude, and he feels as if they've turned away from him. He feels a sense of betrayal, and it's, for me, it's a little bit heartbreaking to read it. As if, you know, as a parent, one of your own children, or even some of your own children, are turned against you. And, you know, any of us who have experienced that, that's heartbreaking. Or, you know, you don't have to be a parent to experience that. You can experience that in your own family. And you know, it's hard when the children are turning against their own parents. And Paul is like a parent to these Galatians. He is their spiritual father. And he even says there at the end, he says, I'm in the pains of childbirth, kind of giving birth to you again, because he's there. He sees them as their father. He's the one who shared the gospel with them. He's the one who preached to them again and again, both the Jews and the non-Jews, the Gentiles. And he labored with them. He worked with them until finally they received Jesus Christ and gave their life to him. And then he was able to raise them up and teach them how to walk in the freedom and the joy of a life with God. And he saw them grow up as if they were his spiritual children. And then as he left, there was the group that I've mentioned before, known as the Judaizers. There were these super Christians who said, if you want to be real Christians, you have to become Jews first. Jesus was a Jew. So if you want to be a Christian and a follower of Jesus, you have to be Jewish too. Like I said before, it's like an American coming to Japan and saying, if you want to be a real worshiper of God, you have to sing songs in English, you have to take communion with hamburgers and French fries and drink Coke and all that kind of stuff. You have to take on the culture of America. That's what these Judaizers were saying. You have to take on the culture of the Jews. You have to follow certain dietary laws, eating habits. You have to worship on certain days. You have to become circumcised if you're a male. And I'm sure all the Gentile males are saying, I don't know if I can do that. So that's who these Judaizers were. And they came in when Paul was away and started convincing the church members that Paul maybe helped you to meet Christ, but he's not a real Christian if he's not telling you that you should not be a Jew. And what happened was, these Galatians, they had all this joy, they were living in freedom and in the power of the Spirit, and now they're following rules again. They're living in religion again. They're trying to do the right thing again. They're putting forth their effort to be right with God. And what happens is it takes the joy away. And Paul is saying, what happened to your joy? Who came in there and just cut in on you in this race that you were running? And, you know, it has little to do with the argument that Paul's making about freedom and being liberated in Christ. But I want to just speak on this little portion of Scripture because there is such an important lesson for it in all of us as we look at the Scripture, and that is we need to be very careful whether we're young Christians or whether we've been with Christ a long time. We must be very careful to choose the right influence on our lives. We have to be very careful about who we allow to give us advice about spiritual things. We have to be very careful about whose ideas we will accept. And we have to be careful about whose words or whose books we're going to allow to shape our thinking. Because just like the Galatians, if we let the wrong people influence us, if we let the wrong people shape our thinking, our lives will go in the wrong direction. And our lives will have the wrong results because we allowed the wrong people to influence us. And, you know, it's a lot of young people always get old people telling them, don't hang out with the wrong people, da 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 da, don't listen to these bad people, da 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 da. But it's true. It's true. We have to be so careful, especially when it comes to our life with God. And Paul just makes some points, and I think these are just a few practical points that I found in Scripture. We need to distinguish or tell the difference between legitimate leaders versus disguised detractors. And what do I mean by that? Legitimate leaders. There are people in our life that God put to influence us. There are people in our life that are in there not because we chose them, but because God said, you need to be under this person. It could be our pastors. It could be our parents. It could even be our bosses. But they're there because God put them there. Paul was saying, I was the one who preached the gospel to you. I was the one who labored to get you to be birthed in Christ, be born again in Jesus Christ. I was there. It wasn't my doing. God put me in your life. It is a God-ordained position that I have over you. And we have people in our lives that God has put over us. They may not even be older than us. I'm your pastor, and most of you are actually older than I am. But that doesn't mean that you should not be listening to me. I have a right as your pastor, and I say this with full confidence, to be directing you and to teach you and to guide you according to the principles of God's word as your pastor. And you have the right to examine my words and to make sure that I'm following you, that I'm leading you according to the principles in God's word. Paul says it himself, follow me as I follow Christ. A good leader, a legitimate leader, is someone who is also being led. I'm not, the only holy man here. I actually stand under the authority of Pastor Kevin, who stands under the authority of Pastor Hiroshi, who stands under the authority of the Assemblies of God ministry all throughout the world. Be careful who you let lead you and influence you. If there's someone who wants to do their own thing, who just can't sit under one church or sit under one pastor because none of them understand him or her, or because they just can't find the perfect church for them, be careful of that type of person. Because a good leader is someone who is legitimately under leadership, under legitimate authority. Because you know what? You'll never find the perfect church. You will never find the perfect mix of people. And in fact, if you do find the perfect church and you end up joining them, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't become perfect anymore. You don't want signs of a perfect church, is what I'm saying. You want a healthy church. You don't have to be perfect, but you can be healthy and growing in Christ. And that's what we are trying to do. We're not the perfect ministry, obviously. But we're trying to follow Christ in his authority. But there are others who want to try to come in, not because of what God is telling them to do, but because of what they want to do. They are in it for what they have. They have a personal agenda, like these Judaizers in the Bible that Paul is talking about. It. They want to take the Galatians and make them follow them instead of God. And that's the truth for any of us in any of our walk with Christ, is that there are people who disguise themselves, and they're wolves in sheep's clothing. And they look like sheep, and they'll talk a good sheep talk. But inside, they're just ravenous wolves trying to devour us, and they're trying to pull us away from real God-ordained authorities over us. You know, God himself said, back in Jeremiah, he said, I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will lead you with knowledge and understanding. It's not my choice to be here standing behind this computer. It is God who put me here as I follow him. Actually, I didn't even ask to be a pastor. My life changed one day. I was just leading worship, playing my guitar. And, I went through a big part of my life where God took my whole life and flipped it upside down. And it changed my life. And Pastor Hiroshi, Pastor Kevin, they saw the change in me. And they said, you're ready for the ministry. And they asked me to be a pastor. I said, okay, I guess I'm ready. And that's how I became one of the pastors here. It's scary when I hear people constantly. I think I want to go into ministry, and that just scares me. Because nobody wants to go into ministry. You need to be called into ministry. It's the ones who are, just screaming, kicking, trying to fight ministry who are usually the ones God wants. So, but it's God's work putting people in our lives to help us to grow and to help us to be blessed. It's a blessed life to sit under authority, God-ordained authority. We need to be careful to distinguish between legitimate, real, genuine leadership given by God and just people who have their own private, personal agendas trying to lead us away. We also need to distinguish not only between good leadership and bad leadership, but also genuine family members in Christ versus these false friends. We have, brothers and sisters. One of the greatest things about church is that I don't walk this life alone. I'm saved individually. I give my life individually to God, but I'm not saved individually. When I enter the family of God, I enter a group of brothers and sisters who are there to build me up, to encourage me in my faith. As I am a little one in learning to walk in faith and in freedom and in the power of the Spirit, there are others who are walking with me, keeping me accountable, saying, keep going forward, don't fall back. We love you, we're praying for you. You need to keep on praying. Let's pray together, let's meet together, let's have fellowship, let's have potlucks, let's live our lives together. That's the best thing about being a Christian sometimes, is that you are not alone. I came to Japan by myself. I had nobody who I knew. No friends, no family, zero. But I had this church. And I knew as soon as I walked into church, I was home. And I was around my family. And people noticed that. I had a coworker who was working with me. And she noticed. I was telling her, I didn't know anybody. But when I came to church, I had instant support. She said, that's so nice about being a Christian. You have instant community. as if it was like, you know, instant noodles or something. You just, you know, put some water in and ba-boom, we have instant, you know, meals. And yes, it's true. You go anywhere in the world, you go anywhere in Japan, and you'll find instant community. And that's a blessing. But there are also people who want to come in and they want to act like they're here to encourage you, they're here to lift you up. They want to act like they're with you. But in reality, they're trying to make you what they want you to be. They have an image of you that they think is the right person to be, but it's not what God wants you to be. And we need to distinguish the difference between, is this person trying to influence me towards God and trying and letting me and affirming those in leadership above me? Are these people around me supporting me in my walk with Jesus Christ, or are they trying to make me what they want me to be? And it's so important to keep ourselves awake and to keep ourselves aware of who and what people are trying to say to us. And the one way to tell the difference is when a new person comes in and tries to make you try to be against or try to be critical against those who have established themselves as your leaders, as your accountability, as your family in God. If those new people are trying to come in and say, do you really know what you're doing? Do you really believe what they're saying? Do you really think that they're right? If they're trying to sour you or trying to alienate you, as Paul says, from your real authority, then that's when you know something's not right. Because there are people that God put, and they've been faithful. They've worked with you. They've prayed with you. They've spent time with you. They've shown that they really care for you and love you. And then someone comes in and says, are you sure about that? And they're trying to be a device that divides you from those who really love you that God put in your life. And Paul says, you need to be very careful about those kinds of people. Last thing I want us to make sure we understand is there are those who are working to edify us versus those who are just plain old complainers. There are edifiers and there are complainers. And you see this in any place you go. Particularly me as a foreigner in Japan, it's interesting that most of the complainers that I know are foreigners. I mean, very few Japanese complainers, maybe because it's a language thing. I don't understand what they're complaining about. I don't know. Or they just complain differently. But when foreigners complain, it's pretty obvious to me. But complainers are these kinds of people. The complainers are the people who, basically, you can't have a five-minute conversation without that person just turning negative and start complaining about something. You can be talking just about food. I had the other day I went and I had raw horse. It was so delicious and so good. I did. I had raw horse. And then a complainer will say, oh, yeah, Japan, they don't know anything about good food. They just eat raw anything, raw, you know, fish eggs, raw, you know, bird, geese, raw horse, whatever. It's, you know, they don't want to cook anything. And you're like, it was good food. What's the problem? You know, they take any conversation, and I don't know what it is. It could be the bitterness in their heart. They're just angry people. They're just having a difficulty with the culture. They're just having trouble adjusting, but they're complainers. They have this mentality. They have the bad habit, really, of not being able to keep something positive and just speaking well of things. And Paul says, you know, whatever's good, noble, lovely, admirable. Think of these things. Those are the complainers, the people who just can't, you know, keep it from turning negative. But on the other hand, there are those who are edifiers. Edify is just a word for meaning, you know, build up, encourage, lift you up, edify. For those of you who are feeling weak and you're just tired and you felt broken down a long week, Somebody's had a bad argument with you. Somebody's been negative towards you. Edifiers are the ones who can say, look, I'm here to build you up again. I'm here to, by the grace of God, I'm going to put you back together. I'm going to encourage you, as the scripture says. Encourage one another and build each other up. Encourage one another daily so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. There are those back in the Galatian times and even now who are either going to complain about everything or who are going to make an effort to edify and encourage. And those are the people we want to allow to influence us, our leaders, our brothers and sisters whom God has placed to build us up and encourage us. That's what we need. And that's what it is that those Galatians needed, not these Judaizers with their own personal agendas trying to make them into their own image instead of God's image. Paul was saying, I long to see Christ formed in you. I long to see that beautiful thing that I saw when I was with you, and that was the image of Christ Jesus. Just one quick thing, I want to back that up. One thing that often comes up living in Japan is in terms of God-ordained authority or leadership in your life. I mentioned it before, parents. God put parents in our lives as our leaders. And, you know, there are those of us who are parents, and that's easy for me to say. But, you know, and some of us could argue, well, you know, my parents aren't believers. They're not even Christians. How do I, you know, obey them and follow them? My rule has always been, if they're not going against what Jesus Christ tells you to do, there's no problem in obeying them. Paul says in a letter, he says, you know, obey your parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's not that they are right. Parents are never always right. I mean, I'm a two-year-old parent, and I'm half the time wrong when I discipline Kyohei. And there's grace for all of us parents. You know, we've made mistakes. We're doing the best we can. And our parents are doing the best they can. They'll make mistakes. And they're not always going to be right. But nevertheless, God puts them in our lives. And he says to obey them because obeying them is right. For this is right. Obey them in the Lord. And I just want that word to go out there. Anybody who's struggling with their relationship with their parents, as all of us do at times, that is someone in our life that God put. It is a God-ordained leadership, and we need to honor that that form of leadership in choosing the right influences. Once more, we need to choose the right influence in our lives, legitimate leaders, genuine family, and people who will edify and build us up. That's the word for this week. I hope it fed you. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up as we're going to sing our closing song together. Shall we all pray together? Heavenly Father, I want to ask for your grace to cover this church, our people. Lord, that if we are struggling to follow our leaders, for those leaders that you put into our life, please help us to submit. Please help us to follow the right people. Father, I would ask also for those who are allowing ourselves, me included, to let the wrong influence enter our life. Help us, God, to be wise and to know the difference between good advice, good thinking, bad thinking. Help us, God, please. We need your help. We need your spirit, Lord, to lead us in these things. Father, for those of us who are complainers, Lord, who have difficulty, Lord, keeping ourselves from putting others down and criticizing. Lord, let there be grace so that we can be people who encourage each other and build each other up. This is our prayer, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen.